started in here.
I used to listen to other morning shows, baby, but there was something missing. They were old, they were dull and boring, maybe I just couldn't listen. Then I found the best show around, Justice Drew and Samantha got my morning attention. And I'm gonna listen to Justice and Drew, show I listen to. I won't miss a beat, I'm just gonna keep it on Justice and Drew.
Then I look at you.
Can you dig it?
And the world's
yes!
alright with me.
Can you dig it?
And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
No, please, no, no!
You look good. I mean, really good.
News Talk AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Good morning and welcome to your Tuesday edition of Justice and Drew. I am Drew. That man over there, the human emoji, is John Justice.
What does that even mean?
He's a human emoji.
I don't.
Look at him.
But if he's
he
a
looks
human,
like an emoji.
Now, I have questions, because if he's a human emoji...
That's an emoji face that you're
but does that
right
mean,
there.
But does that mean that you have to like pick your emoji that is you, so you only have one emoji?
All the emojis.
See, this is why I should be doing my... This is why we had started down this
so
path of leaving it, you know, the blank space.
All right, you want me to back up?
So,
let me rewind.
Then, yeah, no, because what I had to say, honestly, wasn't as good as what you said, so... You can go ahead and do it for the sake of it. Well, introduce Sam first, because I don't want to have
and in there, pushing our buttons and answering your phone calls at 651-989-5855 is the eminently keyless Sam Sansevier. Keyless.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I heard something different, and that would have been really rude.
The lovely, talented, and radiant, and keyless
good
Sam
Sansevier.
Boy. He's off on a good on
you know,
a good
I
foot
think,
this morning, huh?
I think John should do the intros. I was going to make fun of how he'd do them, but now I think they'd be better.
No, my comment was going to be I've got an uninterrupted night of sleep courtesy of over the counter medication. That was going to be my intro. It's however relevant that you brought up emoji face. Okay.
Right.
So, because this
everything
is,
I do is relevant.
Yeah. Well, that's not necessarily
true.
It happens to be at the moment. So, I emailed Essie Cup to see if she was available tomorrow.
Right.
And I had recorded the my appearances when I was on her show about a month ago or whatever. I hadn't watched them. Right. I seen like clips of when I was on, but I hadn't watched them. So I was clearing out the DVR and I was like, oh, you know what? I'll go ahead and subject myself to this. I've seen some of it, but I haven't really seen it in totality.
It's tough.
Well, it's funny because they had invited me back, but I couldn't do it because the timing didn't work out. And I haven't heard since then. Not a big deal. But to Emoji Face, I like did Emoji Face during that both nights.
What like emoji face? What does that even mean? That's not a face.
No, it did. No, but I had a face.
There's like 70 different emojis.
You're right.
I know,
and I was sure. And I did.
Them.
Like every time somebody was talking, my view was totally showing on my face.
You
like,
have a very expressive face.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't like what I saw.
It's the great thing about radio. You can't see your
right?
face, John.
I know. And it's not even like I practice it. I was just watching, and there was a couple of times I had this very perplexed. The camera went to me, and I was like,
see, I have the opposite problem when I've watched my appearances on, like, Ashley Banfield and other shows that I've been on.
Yeah.
Like, I have this deadpan look on my face. And even when I'm trying to sort of express, like, a smile or an emotion, it's so... half-hearted,
right?
It's very subtle, and it's like I just look like I'm just bored the whole time. just bored, and I'd rather be anywhere else than here. And that's not how I feel, but that's just how I perceive my facial expressions.
You look very different from expression to expression. There's a few people that are like that, and you're one of those individuals where you're stoic. Like, if you put a picture of you just looking very, just no emotion at all, next to a picture of you, like, really happy and smiling, you look like two different people.
I've always thought that, but you were the first person that actually said
that
out loud.
It's totally true. It is like totally true.
You could look at 10 different pictures of me, and I look like 10 different people.
Yeah, if you, like, switch the hair color around and hairstyle, people would think that it was, like, you know, 8 different women.
It's so weird. I don't know why that is. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, this is a great conversation for radio.
Everybody knows. I mean, people know what we're talking about. Like, everybody has, like, their faces that they make or don't make or have.
True. Very true.
I mean, we all have faces.
We all have faces.
This conversation's really relevant to everybody.
Take it personal. A lot of prizes to give away today.
The intro.
We've got tickets. No. We have tickets to the Dead End Hayride. Your opportunity to go get your Halloween haunt on. You can join us.
Scared out of your mind.
Yeah, you can join us on Friday. We're going to be out there on Friday right around 7:30. We'll be going in about 7:45. These are VIP tickets. You don't have to join us, but you know, whatever.
But why would you not?
Seriously.
We give you tickets? Come on.
We'll give those away right before we talk with Pete Hegseth just after 8:30 this morning. Plus, continue to tweet at us using the hashtag Tim Hortons TCNT.
Right. We're going to pick a winner today, and we will deliver some Tim Hortons goodness to your office on Thursday. It'll be just random. So every time you tweet, that's another entry. I'm going to number all the tweets, and we'll pick one at random.
Also, an opportunity to put a grand in your hand. Be listening for the key word, your chance to win a grand, coming up just after 7 and 8 o'clock. A little bit later on, next hour, more stories about Russian influence. We had a discussion yesterday about Russia's meddling into U.S. affairs. Apparently, not surprisingly, but there's a story out today where they were looking at making things difficult for Native Americans using Instagram.
It ties into the conversation we were having yesterday about how they're utilizing every avenue of social media to just find little cracks and weasel their way in them and make those cracks even bigger.
They're like, they're bad meme spammers.
But they're effective.
Well, we think.
I think.
You assume.
I assume.
651-989-5855. You want to take part in the show at any point throughout the morning and use that hashtag TCNT if you want to talk with us. Sam, internet, is it scoured?
It is.
Scoured and scrubbed.
Yes.
And 5 stories extracted from it.
Yes.
We'll bring you Sam's top 5 next on Twin Cities News Talk. Justin.
Talk AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice Andrew, along with Sam. Use that hashtag TCNT on Twitter. And the hashtag Tim Hortons TCNT if you want us to bring coffee to you on Thursday. We'll be picking a winner this morning to find out who will get tasty treats and Tim Hortons coffee coming up
after the show today. So keep an eye on your Twitter feed. We will we'll let you know via Twitter if you were selected this right after the show this morning.
Yeah, be sure to go on by TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com for information about all the giveaways we have, including the haunted hayride. We've got the iHeartRadio free preview coming up this weekend, which is fantastic. All the details are available on the Justice and Drew page.
Plus the Acme holiday party, up to 25 people. All you got to do is go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and register for that. Sam has been in there scouring the internet this morning, finding the top 5 stories that are floating her boat. Let's get right to Sam's top 5 for a Tuesday.
Number 1.
A Japan official says that North Korea threats are at an unprecedented critical level. From Fox News, a Japanese official said yesterday that the threat of nuclear war posed by North Korea has grown to an unprecedented level amid escalating tensions with the rogue regime and now requires the U.S., Japan, and South Korea to demonstrate different responses to the threat.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know what that means. Speaking with the U.S. and South Korean counterparts at a meeting of Asian defense chiefs in the Philippines, Japanese defense minister, the Japanese defense minister said the threat posed by North Korea has grown to unprecedented, critical, and imminent level. Therefore, we have to take calibrated and different responses to meet with that level of threat. With no further details on what exactly those kind of responses
well,
would be.
Well, North Korea's been quiet for the past few weeks, and there doesn't seem to be any indication, at least from U.S. news sources, apart from the 24-hour bomber flights that are supposed to begin again.
I mean, it kind of seems like it's been quiet in terms of what we're hearing,
right?
But then you hear about things like the bombers and everything. I mean, things that we're doing. So who knows what our government knows and what our military knows that we just aren't privy to? Because it just, I don't know. I don't think that they would be saying things like this if they were just chilling and quiet and backing down.
Well,
this is a message that I think is directed to be heard by North Korea, because Jim Mattis, defense secretary, echoed it. The remarks said basically the similar thing, that the threat is reaching, you know, global levels, and that action needs to be taken soon, because they are a regional and global threat.
And I think a lot of this too is using the public and the media to speak directly to China as well, because we're this whole situation is so dependent on how they respond to North Korea. They're the only ones that have any real leverage, and I think a lot of this stuff gets discussed out in the open. While it's real, it's a means to let China know too, hey, this is kind of where we're at with our concern.
Number two.
Highway 110 in Dakota County is going to get a new name, and it's a familiar one, apparently. From the Pioneer Press, a state highway that stretches from Minnetonka to Invergrove Heights has an identity crisis. It's Minnesota 62 from Interstate 494 in Minnetonka to just west of Fort Snelling when it becomes Minnesota 55. Across the Minnesota River in Mendota Heights, its name changes yet again to Minnesota 110, which ends at Interstate 494 in Invergrove Heights. Over the years, the names have caused some confusion for drivers who are unfamiliar with the area and end up taking the wrong road.
Or drivers familiar with the area.
Yeah, or like, drivers familiar
like
with
me.
The area.
That has confused me before.
Has it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've gone that route and been like, wait, I'm not changing roads, but all of a sudden now I'm on 110. Now I'm on
Where am I?
Help!
The Minnesota Department of Transportation South Area Manager, John Solberg, said it's especially an issue for those going to or leaving the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, which is a lot of people. Now, MnDOT says it has a solution. Starting next summer, Minnesota 110 will become Minnesota 62. Meanwhile, the stretch of Minnesota 55 near and crossing the river will be dual signed as 55 and 62. Mendota Heights Mayor Neil Garlock sees the logic behind MnDOT's decision to rename Minnesota 110, which runs through Sunfish Lake and West St. Paul, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he likes it. He said, they're just trying to tie one end of 494 to the other end of 494 with a common name. If I had my way, I would say, no, leave it, because it's been 110 forever. But I also know there's nothing we can do about it.
Because it's been something for a long time is not a justification to just keep doing it. It is confusing. It's the same road. It's the same stretch of road. It just changes names at these sort of arbitrary points. It makes sense to just give it all one name. I don't care what it is. You can call it Drew's Road for all I care. John's Road. But yeah, just give it a consistent name. If you don't change roads, the road name shouldn't change.
I'd like to know, and this is thinking way, 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 way too deep about this, but I would like to know what was the actual level of confusion, right? How much of it were people like Drew who knew the area but was still perhaps got confused on, and how much of it were individuals who were new to the area and got confused by the changing of the name, along with the fact that by changing it now for people that already know it, does that end up having a factor as well? And how much money is this going to end up costing? That's probably the biggest question that I have. Is it to change all these signs and to make these changes?
How many signs is it really?
I
don't know.
It's probably a fair amount, and it's probably not a small amount of money, but this is what MnDOT is there to do, and that's their job. So I'm fine with this.
Somebody found a pile of money somewhere at MnDOT. Oh, we haven't used that. What can we do? I know there was this issue over here. Let's go spend it on that.
At least they're not spending it on trains.
True story.
Right, yeah.
Number three.
A bunch of pipe bombs were discovered near a Minnesota hunting cabin from the
Pioneer
Press.
Supposed to hunt.
No, you're doing it wrong.
No.
Well,
that's cheating. That's cheating.
from the Pioneer Press. A landowner's tip led to the discovery of several pipe bombs and an apparent explosive stash near a northwest Minnesota hunting cabin on Sunday. The Red Lake County Sheriff's Office received a report of potential bomb-making materials found near a cabin in Equality Township, just northeast of Oakley, Minnesota. At 11 a.m. Sunday, after a landowner made an unusual discovery, a responding deputy found what appeared to be several pipe bombs in a container hidden in a rubble pile on the complainant's property. Hmm. The Crow Wing County Bomb Squad arrived from Brainerd, Minnesota at about 4:30 p.m. on Sunday, and two technicians were able to disable the bombs. A search of the property was conducted, and the area was ruled safe at 7:30 p.m. Investigators believe the bombs were being stored at the property, not planted for detonation. There's no early indication of how long the bombs have been at the property, who might have put them there, or why.
So all the relevant information
Every
is not available.
Relevant,
those
yeah.
are really important questions.
Yeah, they found them. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all we got.
Now, is ownership of a pipe bomb, is that in and of itself illegal?
I hope so.
I hope that.
I'm genuinely curious if putting those combination of things together is.
I can't sit here and say with absolute certainty, but I believe so.
Okay.
And it certainly should be.
651-989-5855. Is there any...
We don't have a bomb expert that's a friend of the show.
You never know.
I don't want a bomb expert.
Is there any legitimate reason to have a pipe bomb? Like, is there any...
Like, you're going to use it for...
For something that, you know, doesn't involve, you know, blowing up a bear or, you know, causing harm to somebody. Is there any...
I can't...
I don't know of any, but I'm curious.
This is America.
So I'm not,
if I want a bomb, I should have a bomb. No, I don't know. I can't think of one.
I Googled, are pipe bombs illegal in Minnesota?
Okay,
what'd
you
get? It looks like all pipe bombs are illegal in Minnesota.
Good.
I guess.
That's a law I'm in favor of.
Yeah. So I would like to know if there is some bizarro reason why somebody would want to make it, like, if they were construction, wanted to put a hole in the ground easy.
You're just a bomb enthusiast?
Yeah. That.
I don't know.
I know.
I can't think of one. No.
Yeah. Well.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Number four. Oh,
the phones are going.
Great. Florida residents found 65 pounds of marijuana in their Amazon order from ABC. Bonus.
I didn't see that on my Prime options.
From ABC. That's a lot of marijuana.
How did
I don't know how this
much,
happened. That's not like, oops.
All the hands that an Amazon package has to go through before it ends up at your door. Like, oh, this phone case feels heavy.
Yeah, it's not like, oops, dropped my weed.
Well, no, I think if you saw the packages, I think it's pretty clear how they got delivered and the person didn't know. They were just sort of, you know, bound up packages, you know, that nondescript.
Still weighed 65.
Well,
pounds.
But, yeah, 65 pounds. And so,
it's a heavy Blu-ray.
No, they came in empty. They're supposed to be empty storage containers. From ABC, when two Florida
residents...
This copy
of Bring It On weighs a lot.
From ABC, when two Florida residents received their Amazon package, they were surprised to find that their order came with 65 pounds of marijuana. The residents told an ABC affiliate that they ordered plastic storage bins, but when their shipment arrived, they knew something was wrong. One resident said they were extremely heavy, heavier than you would think, from ordering four empty bins. Police seized the drugs and launched an investigation. That resident reported that the marijuana was found in boxes inside the totes and gave off a strong odor.
Yeah, 65 pounds is gonna give off a very strong odor.
The order had been shipped by Amazon's warehouse deals via UPS from a facility in Massachusetts. After more than a month of speaking with Amazon over email in hopes of an explanation, the couple said that Amazon sent a $150 Amazon gift card and a message that read, "I am unable to do anything else at this time."
Okay. I mean, if Amazon's really good at customer service, all right, when I've gotten an order wrong or when I've needed to exchange something, they've always been incredibly responsive and they take returns really, really well. If I got 65 pounds of marijuana delivered to me by mistake from an Amazon order, I don't think I would be using sort of the normal email customer service. Like that would require an escalated response as opposed to like, hey, something was wrong with my order.
Yeah, no, I'd call police. I wouldn't want to be caught with that. I have another question. I'm with you. You don't just go, hey, I got this wrong thing. I would not want to be in possession of that, and I would want authorities to know this got mailed to me immediately. Here's a question that I have, though. If you're comedian Brian Miller and this happens, are you telling anybody? Because there's got to be, like, that was the first thing I thought of was...
Grimace came early.
At what point would you say, well, if they didn't catch it, is anybody going to notice it? And then I thought, but what about the people whose weed it was?
I know. How did it get there?
And then what if they could track you down? I just would hate to keep it thinking, you know, as you said, Christmas came early and then get this.
Yeah.
Hi.
$150 gift card, though. That's not bad.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. For your trouble.
I wonder. Did that? Now is that pound for pound how much the pot was worth? Or
oh god,
I doubt it.
No. I mean, I don't know anything about any of that, but I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it was worth, that was worth a lot more than $150. You could have held it for ransom.
I wonder if the 65 pounds is all that was in the bins. Maybe they actually got more.
65 was all they told him about.
Yeah.
You said 65. We only weighed at 25 now. I don't know.
Weird.
My scale must be wrong.
Number 5.
DNR officers were looking for some deer poachers in a cemetery, but found Ghostbusters instead. From the Pioneer
Dan
Press.
Dan Aykroyd was in a cemetery in Minnesota?
Oh, dad jokes.
Two Duluth area conservation officers chased down two suspected poachers on Saturday night in what became a haunting tale of paranormal behavior.
I see what they did there.
Yeah.
Conservation officers Andy Schmidt and Kip Duncan, who patrol the Duluth area for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, were staking out a cemetery near where there had been recent complaints of people shining deer. Now, using a flashlight or spotlight to locate deer at night is illegal if you have a gun or bow in your vehicle. Shining lights to look for animals is allowed for the first 2 hours after sunset nightly, but only if there is no gun or bow in the vehicle. The officers' stakeout in a small, dark cemetery in an undisclosed location was closer to midnight than sunset. One of the officers, Schmidt, said that we were in the truck waiting for something to happen when this car pulled into the cemetery. We could see they were using some sort of light, but it wasn't really a beam of light. It was flashing on and off like a strobe. Schmidt and Duncan, those two officers, debated whether the suspects were breaking any law, but eventually decided the action constituted shining, or at least was unusual enough to find out what was going on. One of the officers said, we pulled out to talk to them, and they took off. We had to chase after them and hit them with the flashing lights out on the road. The suspects eventually stopped, and the officers approached their car. It turned out to be two women from the Iron Range who appeared to be in their late 30s or early 40s, according to the officer. They didn't have any gun or bow in the car, Schmidt said. When we asked them what they were doing with the lights, they wouldn't tell us. They said we'd make fun of them. number one, that's not going to fly with a cop.
Right, yeah.
Eventually, the women fessed up.
Would you rather be made fun of or arrested?
Right, yeah. This is just two options. So eventually, the women fessed up. They had been looking for ghosts in the graveyard, the officer said. She explained they were using their phone camera flash to spot ghosts. They said you can't see ghosts with a normal light, that you have to use a flash.
Oh.
I didn't realize ghosts only show up with flash.
I didn't know my phone was a ghost spotter.
I didn't either. One of the officers then noticed an unusual blinking light on one of the woman's smartphones. It was an app, they explained, called Ghost Radar.
So it was legit. Wow, I figured there was alcohol involved somewhere in the story. But
nope.
Apparently not.
Schmidt said they said it would allow you to see where the ghosts were that you couldn't see.
On an app.
Ghost radars.
That's awesome. I wonder how much I paid for that app.
This app's website, it advertises the app as the original application designed to detect paranormal activity.
Wow. What a scam.
It's funny. My app shows me this ghost and it looks just like Casper.
In the end, the women were allowed to go on their way. No ticket was issued. The officer said, we told them to have fun. Right. He also said, and then we laughed.
Oh, we laughed.
He said, we see all of it out here, but this is the first time we've stopped Ghostbusters, or whatever you call them.
That is probably a bit embarrassing for the ladies. They aren't identified in the story, so, you know, that's good. But
it's embarrassing because they're dumb. If you're going to be a Ghostbuster, at least...
there's a few different versions. There's a Ghost Radar and Ghost Radar Classic.
I wonder if there are any ghosts in here. During the break, let's download these apps and check for ghosts.
This is just like Pokemon Go. You might as well play Pokemon Go. That's how legit it is.
Hey, Sam, if we download a Ghost Radar Classic and then we examine your booth and it turns out there's a bunch of ghosts in there, is that going to bug you?
No.
Does it offer in-app purchases?
No. They make me stronger.
Let's see. Ghost Radar attempts to detect paranormal activity by making various readings on the device.
It does not.
Traditional paranormal equipment can be easily fooled with simple, mundane bursts of normal energy occur.
That's not true.
But not your phone.
Ghost Radar, registered trademark, sets itself apart by analyzing the readings and giving indications only when interesting patterns in the readings have been made.
Oh my
what goodness. Scam.
That's great. Is it a free app?
Yes, it looks like it's free.
Okay.
I do have a review.
That also is how you know how legit.
We got a review here. It's got 3.4 out of 5 stars. One individual said, this is crazy, and as I'm typing this, I'm indeed at work right now for the graveyard shift. I always wondered about things like this since I started working here. I'm now this is telling me about voice patterns and ghosted children in my vicinity. Whatever. Come on now.
Go home.
There's a bunch of these. Wow, yeah. Ghost radar, ghost detector, ghost sensor. That's great.
Ghost Radar Legacy, Ghost Radar. Wow, what a scam.
That's awesome.
That is really awesome. I bet they're making a killing, too.
If you're going to go ghost hunting, don't do that.
Or just don't.
First of all, maybe just don't. Second of all, I don't think you can trust an app on your phone.
Yeah, it would seem to me that ghosts being real, it would be something that would be easily visible by the naked eye. Like, if you're a ghost... And suddenly, right? But, oh, technology found me out. You know, it would seem like something that would be visible.
We were flying under the radar until these darn iPhones showed up.
So no, the iPhone 9. We're really worried. Gonna expose all our ghostness.
Well done, Sam.
Thank you.
Sam will have all these stories up on the Justice and Drew show page a little bit later this morning. And a quick reminder, we are going to talk to Pete Hegseth later on in the show. Be listening around 8:35 for that.
Speaking of smartphones, we're going to get to this story. We talked about it before, but it's going into law Wednesday, the Honolulu, the Hawaii law, where if you're walking across the street using your phone, you can be fined. They passed it. Mm-hmm. It's starting on Wednesday.
What if you're just looking for a ghost? That's not allowed.
No, apparently no. There is no excuse.
They should have an exception for that.
Also, the border wall prototypes, a first small step on the Trump campaign promise. They've gone up. There's actually photos available up on the Justice and Drew page at the TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. Yep.
Yeah, you can do beige. I know. Beige wall.
I mentioned
blue wall.
Color swatches for the wall.
That is a joke.
Pretty much.
Also, we'll talk about the illegals who were jumping over the border fence right when MSNBC was actually doing a report on Trump's wall and those various prototypes. It's all coming up on Twin Cities News Talk.
You're listening to...
We were just having a discussion a moment ago here on Justice and Drew, along with Sam. Twin Cities News Talk.
How much of that discussion... Can we really have on the air, though?
New Taylor Swift.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah. All
right. that was a very small fraction of that conversation.
She's been slowly releasing music. Got a new video coming out on Thursday, which Drew is incredibly excited about.
What?
As I am as well. But
no.
I like me some Taylor Swift.
She's released, what, like three? This is the third release off her new album that hasn't come out yet. I've still only heard the first one. And the one that sounds like the Black Eyed Peas?
Right.
Did not care for it.
Well, here's the deal. If you have the iHeartRadio app where you can go to the Justice and Drew channel and hear clips of the show, full podcast of the show.
What a professional segue. Well done.
Wow.
Freeview coming up this weekend. Where you can take advantage of everything that the iHeartRadio app has to offer. They've got a Halloween tree coming your way. You open up the iHeartRadio app this weekend for a free preview of the all-access experience, where if you have not been able to listen to those tracks or haven't yet, you have the opportunity to do so on your iHeartRadio app and take advantage of everything it has to offer.
Yeah, I signed up for the all-access shortly after it came out, and I'm really glad I did, because it was already my go-to app for streaming music, but with the all access, it's just so much better. You can save songs to your personal playlists. You can download songs. You can listen to them offline as well. It really is fantastic. It's far and away the best music streaming app. Plus, it's the only app that you can stay in and listen to your favorite podcasts all within the same one. You can get the Justice and Drew channel, Closing Argument with Walter Hudson's on there, Minnesota Beercast, all of the great shows right here on Twin Cities News Talk.
Now, starting after tomorrow, if you happen to be in Hawaii and you're using the iHeartRadio app while you're
Ghost Radar.
While you're walking across the street, you could get a citation We talked about this a couple of months back, but Honolulu has passed a law, which will take effect tomorrow, that allows police to fine pedestrians up to $35 for viewing their electronic devices while crossing the streets in the surrounding, in the city and the surrounding county. Honolulu is thought to be the first major city to enact a ban.
Yeah, this is a terrible idea.
It's awful.
This is not something that police need to be spending their time and efforts keeping an eye out for and stopping people for. We should be looking for any opportunity to limit interactions between police and government and citizens, not look for every chance to increase them.
One director of Department of Management for Non-Communicable Diseases, Disability, Violence, and Injury Prevention with the World Health Organization said there is a dearth of data directly linking distracted walking to pedestrian injuries and death.
No, there's not.
It seems to be a global problem,
no,
too.
It's not. Nope.
Preliminary studies give a hint to unsafe behavior, according to the doctor.
No, they don't.
Here's my...
I dispute all of this.
Here is my problem. This is going to spread because it's going to be one of those issues where all of those who have too much time on their hands are going to be like, yeah, we should totally pass that, right? It's going to be one of those issues that is going to spread because the councils will pick up on it and people will go, totally, people should not be using their phones like they are.
The rationale will be, look, if it just, you know, if it just saves one person, you know, if it just protects one person, you know, then it's totally worth it. It's just absolutely, it's worth criminalizing absolutely benign behavior because what if it, you know, just saves one person?
Right.
Walking out in the street and getting hit by a car. It's not going to save anybody from anything.
No,
all it's going to do is create more hassles for law enforcement.
Yeah, it's a waste of time, and it's a waste of the law enforcement's energy. And unfortunately, I would fully expect, I'll give it a year. I'll give it a year.
For what?
Before the Minneapolis City Council starts looking at an ordinance like this. I'll give it a year.
Yeah. Yeah. Sadly, I'm with you.
Now, is there?
I didn't know if you were going to go the route of I'll give it a year before they repeal it.
Because
no, I don't think that'll ever happen.
No, I don't think that'll happen either.
Yeah, no, but I'll give it a year before it, you know, like a virus just spreads out to all those stupid city councils around the country.
I'll give it 5 months before there's an app that you can use that keeps that from happening.
Your phone will be like, I've noticed you're walking.
Right. Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, crosswalk approaching or something, or it turns off or shocks you before you walk across the street. All right, let's go here.
Maybe they just hate Pokemon Go.
That's because I think my son's the only person that's still playing that. Fairly certain. Out of Reuters, 9 months after President Donald Trump took office, the first tangible signs of progress on one of the central promises of his campaign have appeared along the U.S. border with Mexico. 8 towering chunks of concrete and steel stand as high as 30 feet tall against the sky, possible models for what Trump has promised will one day be the solid wall extending the full length of the southern border from California to Texas. Want to take a look at the different colored walls? You can go to the Justice and Drew page at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.
Do you have a favorite?
I'm kind of partial to the blue personally.
Yeah.
But I like the tan because it does blend in better with the environment.
Yeah, but then birds might fly into it.
Yeah, well, that's on the birds, though, man. Personal responsibility.
You get glass walls.
Whether any of the 8 different prototypes constructed over the last month become part of the actual wall remains highly uncertain. U.S. Congress so far has little interest in appropriating the estimated $21.6 billion it would cost to build it. But, and this is where the point lies, at least for me, Border Patrol officials yesterday welcomed the momentum on Trump's pledge. Roy Villarreal, Deputy Chief Patrol Agent in the U.S. Border Patrol San Diego sector, says our infrastructure is well over 2 decades old. This was during a media tour. Currently, 654 miles of the 1,900-mile border with Mexico is fenced with a single or double or triple fences. A second line of fencing in San Diego, about 18 feet tall, has been breached nearly 2,000 times in the last 3 years.
Wow.
Even if Trump's wall never gets funded, Villarreal said the Border Patrol might incorporate one or more of the new wall designs that it replaces as it replaces worn sections of the existing fence.
And that, yeah, that's kind of the takeaway from me is that, yeah, the idea of a long, solid wall across our border is probably never going to happen. But, you know, it makes sense as this fencing needs to be replaced, which it will, maybe replace it with something a little more substantial. Maybe replace it with this type of wall.
Rowdy Adams, that's a name, former Border Patrol agent, left the agency in 2011 after 30 years, says it's not so much the size of the wall, it's the ability to see whether it's 10 people or 30 people with rifles. It's important to see that and set your response plan in place. Two of the eight prototypes do have a see-through design. Environmentalists have warned that a solid wall would prevent wildlife, including the dwindling population of federally protected ocelots, from crossing. That's always the argument they use.
Make sure they're all on our side before the wall goes up.
Yeah, well,
then they'll continue to be federally protected.
Look, I always I trust those who are protecting the sovereignty of the country, that if they want a big, beautiful, see-through plexiglass wall adorned with solar panels, I'll support it. You know, as we have talked about before, I don't know, and I agree with you, I don't know the likelihood of getting all of the border replaced. I think the detail here, and I think this U.S. Border Patrol San Diego sector agent Roy Villarreal kind of hit the nail on the head. It's replacement of the existing portions of the wall where it's not, or where they want to extend the wall where it hasn't been filled. That's where this type of wall goes in. I don't think they're going to be knocking down the one that's already there, because I just don't think we'll ever have the funding for it, and Congress will look for some sort of workaround.
I agree. Use it to replace existing infrastructure that is worn out and needs to be replaced. Use it to bolster problematic areas of the border. You know, focus on just doing a little piecemeal at a time, and eventually, over time, we will have, hopefully, a much more secure border. Mike in Clearwater, good morning.
Yeah, maybe you can clarify for me, but it's not a matter of whether or not Congress wants to spend the money. In 2006, they approved funding for a border wall. It's just up to the president to spend the money. I mean, I'm fully willing to be corrected, but the money's already there. I don't know if it's $21.8 billion, but in 2006, they approved money to build a wall. It should be being built right now.
Yeah, the money is the money conversation around this, Mike, and thanks for the phone call, because you are correct. There has been money that's been appropriated for this. What they discuss, and it varies, you know, it varies between whether or not you were talking about filling in the places where there are other wide gaps, whether they're talking about money to completely remove what's there now and build a complete wall. That's where I think this $21 billion is coming from. It would be, that's a number that is attached to if you were to act like there was nothing there right now at all of the 1,900 miles. Nothing there. If you built a wall from end to end where you could physically do that,
yeah,
that's where the $21 billion comes in.
Where what he's referring to is the Secure Fence Act of 2006, which reads that the Department of Homeland Security is allowed to, quote, take all actions the secretary determines necessary and appropriate to achieve and maintain operational control over the entire international land and maritime borders of the United States. Those actions include the use of personnel, technology, and physical infrastructure enhancements. So under that, if the Department of, if the head of Homeland Security decides that we need a wall, it appears that this act would allow them to go ahead and start taking that action. Again, though, the funding for this act is still a little questionable. I'm scrolling through a couple pages here to find out if it allows them to just spend whatever they deem appropriate.
Right. So can Trump just pull out his visa and just pay for it out of pocket,
yeah,
based off that act? I don't think that's the case. Out of the American Mirror, a reporter covering prototypes of Trump's proposed border wall taking shape near San Diego with the when the interview was interrupted by a group of migrants hopping over the existing fence. What happened? The reporter shouted as a group of agents on horseback move in to nab the border jumpers. The people are crossing. Almost on cue, a group of asylum seekers, migrants not from Mexico, jumped over the existing fence to turn themselves into border agents on horseback, as the reporter narrated. The agent said it was just another day at work fighting the never-ending battle to secure the nation's southern border. Virtually every day, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection issues media advisories detaining the unsuccessful efforts of smugglers to ferry people, drugs, weapons, money, and other items across the border. Many more are successful. Look, the fact that this happened right in the middle of when this story was taking place goes to show how often that it's happening, mm-hmm, and the number of people who do get across the border. And there's a lot of people that break into the country illegally. with the sole purpose of getting being taken in by Border Patrol.
Yeah, yeah. That's the those are the asylum seekers.
Yep.
They cross over and immediately look for Border Patrol to turn themselves in because they want to, you know, they know that they're going to be taken into custody, given some degree of protection, given some degree of care. Trump's comments about cracking down on illegal immigration is already having a big impact. The measure that they often use to determine how much activity is going on along our border are apprehensions. And the Associated Press says that's at the lowest level in 17 years.
And I don't put a lot of... when it comes to the build the great big beautiful wall, right? Okay, and Trump's campaign pledge. The biggest issue that Trump is going to have, and I don't put this on Trump, I put it on Congress regardless of who's in power. It's just there is... With the current elected leadership in Congress... In the House and the Senate, there is no appetite to go and do this. There hasn't been for a long, long time. You have to drain the swamp and get new individuals in there if you're ever going to see that happen, because Washington's just used to being able to have both left and right use this as a debate, use it as an argument for their own purposes. And because of that, it's why we haven't seen anything really comprehensive done, including comprehensive border security. Both sides take advantage of it and like things the way that they are.
And I'm reading a little more about the Secure Fence Act of 2006, just real quick. They do need to get approval from Congress on certain levels of funding to accomplish this. So basically, whatever the Home Department of Homeland Security wants to do with its existing appropriations, it already has the authority to do.
651-989-5855, your opportunity coming up in just a few minutes to your chance to win a grand. Yep. On the way.
Put a grand in your hand. Just listen, in about 7 minutes, are going to give you a keyword that you're going to text to 200-200. Everybody who texts that keyword in is going to be entered into a drawing for $1,000.
Also, Trump promises, speaking of Trump, no change to your 401k, while a principal apologizes for a Trump tombstone at a Halloween party.
Broadcasting on AM 1130. 103.